Oh, I did say that. Yeah. I just should have put it in red. Okay. Pi goes through its reset cycle. Comes back up on your Wi-Fi. You go to your browser, digipi.local. Here's the working interface. You click, and it's intentionally very spare, so this loads like that. You can go buy, or if you have no other field device, you can go buy a really cheap pay-as-you-go Android smartphone from Walmart, and it'll work fine with this because this page is very simple. It's very snappy. The only delay you'll see is because the 02W takes some time to process stuff. It's not a supercomputer. It's capable, but it's not speedy. So the first thing you'll do, the first time you turn this on, because in our initialization step, if we said, hey, default to this mode, you got to turn this mode on one time. So you click the button here that says APRS TNC iGate. Give it a few seconds, you'll see the little green square light up. And when that tells you that the service is running. The next thing you want to do is turn the button on that says APRS Web Chat. After a few seconds, that light will go green. And that will show you that the Web Chat service is now running. And then you go down to the bottom here and you click on Web Chat. You'll open up a new tab in the browser.
Quick question, John. When you start that service, does that service remain on after power cycle? So what it's
if you told it that this is the default power up configuration.
Okay.
So you had to say this in the initialization stage.
And then it'll maintain that set.
Yeah.
Okay.
And these things are small enough and cheap enough that you can kind of dedicate one to each kind of function.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have maybe a Pi 02W that's set up for APRS. You might have another one that's set up to do WinLink or, you know, Pat email. You know, basically you can have a Pi that defaults to a particular application.
Or just a chip. You don't need a dedicated Pi. You can just swap the chip, right?
Yes, you can do that too. Because yeah, all this is remembered on the SD card. Cautionary tale about SD cards, though, they do wear out. So usually, if you got a Pi that starts acting flaky, that's my first suggestion is to image a new SD card, and don't try and format the old one. Just toss it, because you can introduce problems you wind up chasing your tail with later. All right, so you turn on the APRS TNC by clicking the button. Same thing with the web chat service. And then you click the web chat link. And then this is where you're at next. So in this case, I just send a message to WXBot, you give it a zip code, and it'll give you the web forecast for that zip code. WXBot is smart enough that if you don't send it a message, because the APRS protocol, whenever you send a message, your position gets sent automatically. WXBot is smart enough to capture your position and give you the forecast for the area that you're in. I find it, though, I get a little better forecast if I put the actual zip code in. And that's it. You're in business. You can just type somebody's call sign in, type the message, and you can have back and forth, very easy back and forth, just like texting on a phone. And that's it. That wasn't particularly difficult. I made that take about 10 times longer than it needed.
I have a question about, obviously there's been reach control on a Valve thing. Does it turn on Vox or anything?
No, because the AIOC has a hardware circuit to do the push to talk.
Oh, it'll do the push to talk for
you. Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
So, any good?
Yeah, I have a bunch of SD cards. Is there a minimum limit size that it has to be?
I've I don't think.
He says eight gigs.
Yeah.
He recommends.
Still have
but I can't remember the last time I saw an 8 gig micro SD card anywhere.
Four 32 gig SD cards for like $15. I mean, and they're not the cheap SD. I mean, they're the higher quality. Yeah.
Where did you get those?
They were on sale, so really? I don't know. But yeah.
Well, for 32.
If you want the best life.
32 gig, yeah.
You can get Staples too.
If you want the best life on an SD card, get one that's a class 10. Because class 10 SD cards are set up for video, and video is high bandwidth, a lot of reads and writes. That gives you the most robust SD card for the buck. And I can't remember the last time I saw an SD card that wasn't class 10. They're kind of like the default now. So, yeah, you go to Walmart, basically you're going to this. In fact, when I bought a bunch of SD cards, the smallest one I saw was 32. I saw 32, 64, and 128 gig. 64. So, you know, there's no reason not to use 32s. They're dirt cheap, and you give you all kinds of room. And they last longer when they're a little larger because there's a balancing algorithm that's built into the little fleece spec chips that are inside these little SD cards. There's a balancing algorithm that actually changes where the data gets written to on the card to kind of balance its life out, because all the cells in the SD card only have a certain number of read-write cycles. So it moves them around. So the more space you have on the card, the more places it can move the data around before you start having cells fail. So in this case, there's no reason not to use a 32. And I've got 32 gig cards that are 4 or 5 years old that have been in continuous service in Raspberry Pis, and they're still cooking along with no weird errors.
Limitation on read cycles and write cycles, or just write cycles?
I believe it's read and write.
Yeah, right.
That's what I've seen. This is the 145.39, right?
Yep.
Yeah, well, when's the PDF going to be available?
I emailed it to Jeff last night, so.
Tomorrow.
Sure, Jeff.
I'll put it up on Skunkworks with the video of the session. I'll do that this afternoon as soon as Chris renders the video.
So does this mean that I'm no longer going to be a radio star since I'm a video star now?
Yeah, that's it.
Are you going to make the corrections to
the podcasters' unions?
I will have to come up with version 2 then, because, like I said, the last thing I did before I went to bed last night is I click convert to PDF, email to Jeff. So yeah, you've got the beta version of the slide deck. But this was the test that was built in, you know, that extra information, that incentive to come and hear me expound on Digipop.
That's the personal touch.
That's
exactly.
That's exactly.
The key point was that it creates its own web server, because the biggest issue with working with a Pi is finding out what its own IP address is.
And again, that in and of itself is the biggest reason to get the external display. Because the Pi always when it boots up, the Pi always tells you what its IP address is. If you've pre-configured it to APRSTNC, you'll see that splash screen with the IP address for about a minute. And then when it starts up its default mode, it'll go away. The cool part is you'll see everything that's going on with APRS. So every station that the radio hears, and let's temper expectations, this is a Baofeng, and this is the Baofeng with the stock dummy load, antenna. So it's got to be pretty strong signals to hear, but put a better antenna on it, or just go with a better radio, like some of the BTECs, the TID radios, you'll get a little better performance. If you're using it at home or in the car, put an external antenna on it, you get even better performance. The only thing I'll say in the APRS realm around here, 144.39 is busy. You are at a disadvantage with a 5-watt handheld. You'll get some packets through, when nobody else is talking. But the majority of stuff in this area on APRS is running 25 or 50 watts. When they talk, the system's not going to hear you, not at 5 watts. So there's trade-offs to everything. Excuse me. You do a lot better with a better antenna. So 5 watts with a mobile antenna, set your beacon frequency up a little more to make up for the times where your packet gets squashed by somebody else. You'll have better luck with it. But it's a great way to get started and figure out if you get as smitten with APRS as I have been, you find out, okay, this is cool. Maybe I want to make an investment in some better equipment. The nice part is with DigiPi, it's just, you can also buy a plain old VHF UHF mobile rig and adapt DigiPi to using that too. So basically you can change out, it makes the system very modular. You can change out your RF deck in 7HT, you can use a mobile. And something to recommend, the Toads interface. The Toads interface has a mini DIN connector on it. So if you've got a radio with a mini DIN data output on the back, you can plug Toads in on one end, plug the radio in on the other, run DigiPi on a mobile. And you get all the same APRS features, and you can do some other things too. If you decide to go with a Pi 3, 4, or 5 rather than a 2, now you have more horsepower to do even more things.
As I mentioned at the meeting, I have I picked up a Radiati, the DB25 mobile, the 20-watt mobile. It does have APRS functionality, but only on the beaconing, as we talked about. But it does have a K connector on the side. I think that this would,
oh yeah,
this would add then the additional APRS functionality that.
Now, is that K connector how you normally plug the microphone into the radio?
No. It actually has a different port for the microphone, so the K connector is its programming connection. So
I'm wondering if they route audio out to it. They may just use it for the serial, and that connector was a convenient format for them to use in that radio. So the question is whether the audio section is connected up as well.
That's a good question.
But if you want to borrow my AIOC cable and see if it works. We can try that.
I have the radio here too.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, in the initialization, there's a lot of parameters in there. One of which, well, I think, was the audio interface. That's something you can't change afterwards either.
Correct.
All right. Because one of the things I learned in the last 15 minutes is that there are a lot of steps for initialization, some of which you may not know off the top of your head, like current latitude and longitude. And once you put them in or don't put them in, you're stuck with them, and you're going to have to image a card like I am, because I didn't know exactly how I was going to connect to my radio when I set the thing up. So my normal way of incrementally doing things and figuring stuff out does not work. You got to know everything before you start.
But you can re-image a card to make a correction to those mistakes, right?
Well, no, you can re-image a card and start all over again.
Right.
Oh, sure. But you start all over again. You don't just change it. Like right now, I did not have an audio interface set up. I can never use this card with a radio. I will have to start all over again.
But all over again.
Don't be this stupid like I was.
It's a learning experience.
Yes. Yeah. But, you know, it was strange enough. It's not the way I work.
Yeah.
I work incrementally, and you can't work incrementally. You got to know exactly everything you got to need to know on that page before you hit save.
And in this case, that's why I recommend. You can do all this with just talking to the Pi itself. But if you put the Pi on your home network, that lets the Pi reach out so that you can have that password generator. If you've been in APRS forever, you know that if you just do a Google search on APRS call pass, it'll take you any number of websites that'll do what the Pi will do if you click the link. But this is more of a convenience feature. You click that link, the same with your grid square, your lats and longs. You can get all, like my phone has, I have an application on my phone. I believe it's also on Android called Maidenhead. And you open up Maidenhead and it tells you your grid square, lat longs, you know, everything you want to know. So you don't have to put the Pi on your home network, but it's a convenience feature. The other convenience feature that you get is once that Wi-Fi link is established, your Pi is now an iGate. It's a receive iGate. There's some other things you have to do to get it to be a transmit iGate, but it's a receive iGate. So anything it hears via the radio, it's going to punch out through the Wi-Fi to the APRS internet system. So there's another incentive to put the Pi on your home Wi-Fi. Again, though, you take it out. As soon as the Pi is out of range of your home network, it reverts to hotspot mode. So it'll pay to remember 10.0.0.5. Unless you put the display, in which case, when you boot it up someplace and it can't talk to its Wi-Fi and it reverts to hotspot mode, it'll tell you what its address is.
Is that too loud in here?
No,
it's fine.
No, and I'm wrapped up anyway.